Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome everyone to the Lord's house this morning. Please take a look at the announcements in a bulletin announcement flyer to learn about the food pantry needs, the collection for Family Promise, and the various meetings taking place through the end of this month and the start of the month of October. And please sign the friendship register when you get a chance and pass it on to your neighbors down the row. Choir practices have resumed on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock p.m. and our music director, Ryan Layton, would be delighted to visit with you about your interest in singing in our church choir. We are also grateful to Don and Judy Thomas for welcoming our congregation once again to their home for the Fall Festival next Sunday afternoon, October 2nd. We will be carpooling from the church at 3:45 in the afternoon. There's further information about what to bring mentioned in the bulletin announcement flyer. Elders, deacons, and committee chairpersons, please be reminded that the September board meeting will take place today at 12 noon in the upper room classroom. We will need a quorum in order to vote on a couple of items of business. And please take note of the flyer and envelope in today's bulletin as we are receiving the reconciliation offering this morning. And our thanks to Mary Davis for serving as our organist in Lenora's absence this morning. Welcome, Mary. It's good to see you as always. All right. May we now begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Praise the Lord, all nations.
Praise the Lord.
His love for us is strong, and his faithfulness is eternal. Praise the Lord. We'll now sing all stanzas of hymn 408, Come Share the Lord.
May we bow for a moment of prayer. Loving God, we're grateful as always to be in your house this morning, where we worship with our church family. We find comfort in our traditions as we celebrate the Lord's Supper each week here at your table. And we give thanks as we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit each time we gather. And we know from Scripture that whenever two or more are gathered in your name, there you will be present with us. And we welcome your presence now as we give thanks in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. All right, please be seated. Children, come on up for the children's sermon.
Tell me the stories of Jesus. I love to hear things I would ask him to tell.
Good morning.
How are you?
Are you good?
Oh, good. I always like to hear that.
I got a question for you. Do you know what's up there below our cross where all those flowers are? Do you know what's up there? It's called a baptismal. That's right. Good job. Do you know what that is? Do you know what it looks like? You think? What do you think it looks like? Like a teeth? Well, the cross, yeah, the cross does. But underneath that cross, behind those flowers, is called a baptismal. And it kind of looks like a really big bathtub.
Really big.
As a matter of fact, for you guys, it'd probably be a small swimming pool.
Yeah.
And do you know what we use a baptismal for? What? What do you think? To grow? Well, maybe. In a sense, yes, metaphorically speaking.
It's
where we get baptized. Yes, baptized. Baptized is when we get older and we really understand the forgiveness of God and why we need it, and when we're ready to repent, which means ask God to forgive us, and we're ready to start working hard to follow Jesus, then we're ready to get baptized. And what happens is we'll go up there with Pastor Dennis, and he will baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then you get to dunk underwater really quick, and then you're baptized. And it's symbol, it's just distractions. It's a symbol of washing away all your sins and coming up all nice and clean in the Lord. Yeah. It's a very, very special time. Mm-hmm. And when you get bigger and you can talk to Mom and Dad about it and decide when you're ready to be baptized. Yeah. Should we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name. We give thanks for the precious gift of Jesus and the great sacrifice he made for us. We ask that you send the Holy Spirit to teach and guide us as we seek you in everything that we do and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Kathy. In our prayers as we begin this new week, please keep Jerry and Betty Donahue in your prayers. Jerry was at North Kansas City for several days this past week with some significant pain issues, was home last night for about 4 hours, and had to return last night through the emergency room as the issues he's dealing with are still just not resolved. So please keep both of them in prayer. Anna Ekrit is recovering from surgery. Catherine O'Neill is making good progress from pneumonia, hopes to be here at the second service. Betty Foster is at North Kansas City Hospital. She is now having heart issues that make for difficult breathing, and she is returning tomorrow to her son Dan's house and will be in hospice care. So please keep Betty in your prayers. We also remember Diana Stone and Larry Pettis, Jill Gregory, Rihanna Ralston, Debbie Buzinski, Larry Pitts, Evelyn Prusner, Lois Berry, and Lois Struck, as well as among family and friends. We want to lift up the congregation of First Christian Church in Trenton, the memorial service for their pastor, Tim Smith, who passed away rather suddenly a couple of Mondays ago. That memorial service will be this afternoon. Mike Ransdell, who comes to the second service, he was a longtime member of First Christian in Trenton. We also lift up Claire Swanson, the daughter of Jerry Treese's cousin. We lift up David Keel, the son of Ed and Shirley Keel, who also attend the second service. David suffered a rather significant stroke that has affected his left side, and he has been in Menorah Rehabilitation, and that will be transitioning to another rehabilitation facility in the days ahead. We also lift up Debbie Hamilton, Debbie Bass, and her son Weston, David Brownfield, Samantha Sander, Chris Bishop, and Anoki Krager, all of whom have been in our prayers for some time. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we offer thanksgiving for the privilege to assemble in your house of worship this Lord's Day. We rejoice in the privilege to hear and be guided by the hope engendered through your word spoken in Scripture. We celebrate the joy that overflows this sanctuary by the singing of hymns of praise and celebration. We embrace the love we experience through supportive friendships that are strengthened with each passing Sunday morning. We accept the grace given as our sins are washed away by the blood of Christ, and in our redemption, we are privileged to know that we will one day share in the glory of your eternal kingdom. And as we feel the presence of your Holy Spirit's guidance through this time of prayer that brings us ever closer into a full experience of your great love, we pray, O God, that we may be empowered to share your great love with others with whom we share our lives as we embark upon the task and endeavors of this new week. Guide us, O God, as we realize the privilege it is to be ambassadors for the living Christ each and every day. This we pray as we also recite the prayer that our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All of us have heard and seen the advertisements for any number of products that offer a remedy for pain, to heal us from our ailments, or to make us feel better. Yet, of course, there is also the caveat at the end of the promotional. Individual results may vary. Giving a legal exit door of accountability and telling us in the most subtle of ways that the promoted product for which we are spending our money may not make any difference at all. Yet when it comes to our spiritual welfare, there is no individual results may vary. For Christ our Lord came into the world to save us one and all. As we simply acknowledge our sins, seek Christ's redemptive power, and are clearly saved from the ravages of damnation and given the privilege to share in God's eternal glory. As we share in the bread and the cup of the Lord's table, we celebrate also the scriptural truth of Romans chapter 3. Everyone has sinned and is far away from God's saving presence, but by the free gift of God's grace, we are put right with Him through Christ Jesus, who sets us free. Our communion hymn this morning is number 413 as we sing both stanzas, please, of Take Our Bread. Gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Dave leads us in a word of prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today to praise your name. You have showered us with wonderful gifts. The best gift of all is the giving your Son to us for our sins. As we partake of these emblems, we ask that you bless the bread and the cup. This we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you.
flyer in your bulletin details the reconciliation offering that's being received in our churches throughout the nation today. Half of the funds received in our regional churches will come back to the Greater Kansas City region to promote reconciliation programs throughout the metro area. For your special gifts, your tithes and offerings, we're indeed grateful as Ken leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Lord, as we accept these gifts to spread your word, bless the gift and the giver to better serve our community and go through this week with all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture text I share with you this morning is a familiar one for you because we repeat these words in one fashion or another as the words of institution for the Lord's Supper, and we do that every Sunday. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with the 23rd verse, the Apostle Paul tells us, "For I received from the Lord what is also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you will in remembrance of me.'" May we bow our heads for a word of prayer. Merciful and loving God, truly it is our joy to offer you praise this Lord's Day morning, as we also uphold our remembrances of your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ, who is indeed our avenue of redemption. May your Holy Spirit guide us as we study your word this Sunday and always. Amen. In our fellowship, we share in the Lord's Supper every Sunday morning. In other fellowships, the Lord's Supper is shared sometimes once a month, sometimes once a quarter. And one of the interesting trends that's been happening here in the last couple of decades is that many of the contemporary fellowships don't even see the need to share in the Lord's Supper at all. Why is that? Is it because, well, we don't want to buy the communionware or go to all the trouble of setting things up? What is the reason? Or maybe what we should ask, and even more importantly, is how is it that the Word of God in the New Testament informs our decision as we share in the Lord's Supper every Sunday morning? And in fact, in the Christian church, it is considered the central part of our worship experience, not the sermon. The Lord's Supper is the center because Christ is indeed the center of our faith. And especially during the 80s, it was a time period in which many of our sanctuaries that were built in that time period, you can notice that the communion table is often in the very center of the sanctuary, and the seating surrounds it on the sides. And in some of our buildings built in that era of time, the communion table is even in the center of the entire building. Always centering on the notion that the Lord's Supper is the pivotal aspect of our worship to God in Christ. In our fast-paced world, in which images for television commercials flash before our eyes at lightning speed, many are inclined to shy away from anything that may have any semblance of repetition. A child in a classroom or at the dinner table or even on a Saturday morning may exclaim to his or her parents that about any repetitive event, "Oh, Mom, oh, Dad, do we have to do this again?" Or, "Oh, this is what? So boring." Right? Yet, regarding genuine, meaningful family life, one recurring theme that I have noticed over the decades is that it is in the repetition of shared events that a family often discovers stability, comfort, and a sense of constancy. Reflecting on the life of a deceased loved one, for example, I cannot tell you how many times in meeting with families, it is often those repetitive events and tasks that are remembered and at that time celebrated the most, with the fondest of memories, by surviving spouses, children, and grandchildren. One will say, "My dad was the one who showed me what it meant to have a good work ethic. Every morning, out on the farm, we got up at the crack of dawn to take care of the animals before work or school. But my dad didn't just tell me to go out there and do those chores. We worked on those chores together. And through those short conversations we shared as we went about our work, we formed the greatest bond I've ever experienced with any other human being." But it is in the repetition that that experience is formed. Another one will say, "Going to my grandparents' house after church every Sunday morning, at first I thought, oh, it's boring. But then I realized how special it was for me to get to know my grandparents so well. And I understood how much they taught me many of the values and ideas about a right way of living one's life that I now cherish." Yet another one will say, "When I was a kid, I griped to my parents about having to leave my friends here in Missouri and to spend 2 months every summer helping my grandparents on their farm in Minnesota. But the truth is, me and my cousins up there, we formed bonds with our grandparents and with one another that have meant the world to me." As we look at stories of God's interaction with humanity, the establishment and the repetition of traditions is one of the main ways that God has chosen to relate to humanity for generations. And chief among those repetitive events is the one called the Passover, described most succinctly in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. You know the story. There were first the 9 plagues, and yet Pharaoh still hardened his heart and wouldn't let the Hebrew people free from slavery. So God instructed the people to gather together and share a special meal that included a sacrificial lamb, bitter herbs, wine, and unleavened bread. The event was to be of such importance that the new nation of Israel was to begin a new calendar from that point on. As Exodus chapter 12, verse 2 tells us, it was to mark the first month of every new year. God declared that from now on, they
were to repeat this festival, and it was to be the most significant event of any that they experienced. Exodus chapter 12, verse 17 says, "Keep this festival, because it was on this day that God brought the people out of Egypt. For all time to come, you must celebrate this day as a festival." And in the yearly repetition of the Passover meal, the Israelite people were also supposed to teach their children the significance of this event as the angel of death passed over the land of Egypt. As Exodus chapter 12, verse 26 states, "When your children ask you, 'What does this ritual mean?' you will answer, 'It is the sacrifice of Passover to honor the Lord, because he passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt. He killed the Egyptians, but saved us.'" And for centuries then, the Israelites maintained that sacred festival year after year, until as time passed on, they forgot about it completely. It was finally then in the restructuring of the temple in Jerusalem that the Passover was once again finally initiated and practiced every year once again, so that it was intact at the time that our Lord Jesus came into the world. And in the third and final year of his earthly ministry, Jesus gathered in Jerusalem with his disciples to share in the Passover, as was the custom of the day. But as Jesus closed up that particular Passover with his disciples, he also took the leftovers of it, the unleavened bread and the wine, and he instituted a new experience. We call it the Last Supper, or for every Sunday, the Lord's Supper. And we know how this event unfolded and what new meaning Jesus our Lord wished to convey, as we recite every Sunday those words that we call the words of institution, again from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in remembrance of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you do what? You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." We see how simple bread and the simple drink of the wine of the day took on new significance for these followers of Jesus. Now, it takes a bit of deciphering of the New Testament scriptures and other traditional texts of the first century Christianity, but as we look through them, we discover just how often the Lord's Supper is shared between the apostles and the other followers of Jesus, and by those first generations of first century Christians who chose to follow Jesus' way. One of the reasons why we don't have, you know, a detailed instruction manual about how to do church from the Apostle Paul is because Paul really felt that the second coming was going to come in his lifetime. And if you think that the world is going to come to an end in a short period of time, would you go to a lot of trouble to put together an instruction manual for something at all? Probably not, would you? And yet we're always digging through the scriptures trying to find the instruction manual. What we get is bits and pieces of information, but from them we can certainly ascertain an understanding as to how Christians in that first century were worshiping God. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 and 2 tell us that it was very early in the morning on the first day of the week that the women followers of Jesus went to the tomb to complete the rituals of Jesus' burial. And there they discovered that indeed Christ had risen from the dead. This became Easter Sunday, the first day of the week. Sunday thus became the Lord's Day. And since the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, was when Jesus arose from the dead, it made perfect sense for Jesus' followers to then choose to worship God and Christ, if you will, on Sunday rather than the Sabbath, the last day of the week, or Saturday, which of course had been the Jewish custom for centuries. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, that Jesus' followers were meeting regularly on what day? The first day of the week. In the Didache, which is a first century document called the Teachings of the 12 Apostles, not a part of our Bible, but again, another document, significant document of that early time period. In that 14th chapter, verse 1, the text says, "Every Lord's Day," more specific here, "every Lord's Day, gather yourselves together and break bread and give thanksgiving." But as the Lord Jesus transformed that final Passover into the Lord's Supper, we also recognize that in the ending portion of the section of Scripture that I've read to you, Jesus also said to his disciples as they were partaking of the bread and the cup, "Do this as often as you will in remembrance of me." So, as often as you will gives precedence to the idea, well, when's often enough? Well, how about every time we gather for worship? Every time we gather to be in that time of worship and prayer. And as the scriptures also tell us, that they shared a common meal together. Thus, from these understandings of scripture, we know that first century Christians got into a habit of sharing the Lord's Supper, not once a quarter, not once a month, but every time they gathered for worship and praise to God. And when is that? On the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, Sunday. And this, indeed, is the reason why the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, the Christian Church Independent Church, the Churches of Christ, the Fellowship of the Campbellite Movement that started here in the United States in those early 1820s, 30s, and 40s, that's why we share in the Lord's Supper every Sunday morning. Yes, it is a repetitive practice. It doesn't mean that the practice is in any way diminished in its significance or meaning. In fact, I think, like what I have discovered with so many families as I've gathered with loved ones, as we are reflecting upon the life of a dear loved one who has passed. Time, I cannot tell you, folks, how many times, but it is time and time and time again. It is those repetitive events in the life of family that end up shining as the most meaningful experiences. And it is in whatever is being done in those shared experiences where young people are taught values and are taught how they should live their lives in ways that honors, if you will, in the case of family, honors community, honors nation. And in the fellowship of the church, we share in the Lord's Supper every Sunday morning repetitively because it helps us to honor Jesus the Christ and to celebrate what he has done for us. And what is it? He has given us the avenue of salvation. Is there anything in life more important than this? None at all. And so, let us share the Lord's Supper And do this as often as we will in remembrance of Jesus the Christ. That's why the sign outside this morning simply says, "Remember Jesus." And it's a reference to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. But I ask you this morning, where are you? Do you know the Lord Jesus? If he's not your Savior, maybe today is that day that you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way that I know your life can be transformed. Maybe today is that day for you to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation as we stand and sing our hymn of invitation, "In Remembrance of Me." It's hymn number 403. We're going to sing both stanzas, please.
In remembrance of me, eat this bread. In remembrance of me, drink this wine. In remembrance of me, pray for the time when God's own will done. In remembrance of me, heal the sick. In remembrance of me, feed the poor. In remembrance of me, open the door and let your neighbor in. Let them in. Take, eat, and be comforted. Drink and remember to that this is my body and precious blood shed for you, shed for you. In remembrance of me, search for truth. In remembrance of me, always love. In remembrance of me, don't look above, but in your heart, look for God. Do this in remembrance of me.
Would you all please have a seat for just a moment? We want to celebrate the fact that the Bogina family has chosen to come forward this morning to make their confessions of faith and to be to become members of our church and also later to be baptized. It has been my joy and privilege, Justin and Jessica, Hannah and Clayton, to celebrate with you our Lord Jesus, right? And we've been on a journey where we've been exploring the scriptures in the Christian beliefs class that we've been working through the last several weeks, right? And I hope that through the journey that we all have shared, that the living Lord Jesus has become more apparent to each of you. And I think that is certainly evident in your willingness to come forward and to make this commitment to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and to embark upon this journey of faithfulness
to the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, right? Praise God. And so I want to ask, I'll just ask you as a group. Okay. I'm not going to ask you individually. I know Jim goes one and then the other, right? I'll ask all of you. Do you understand that as we seek forgiveness of our sin, that you now desire to ask the Lord Jesus to be your Lord and Savior as you now accept him and want to welcome him into your heart? If so, please respond by saying we do.
We do.
We do. And Justin, bless you. Anna, bless you. Jessica, bless you. And Clayton, bless you. And it is my privilege to extend the hand of Christian Fellowship and to welcome you here into the fellowship of Berry Christian Church as members. Bless each of you. Let's give them a hand. Praise God. Thank you for your willingness to come forward. Now, I want you to come to the back with me so we can take our picture, remember, as we were mentioning. And again, we're going to be looking forward to their baptism together as a family. That's going to be a wonderful experience for our church as well. And we'll be doing that here in a time frame that works best for you all. Let's all stand for the closing song. Will you meet me in the back? Okay, thank you.
Go, my children, with my blessing never alone. Waking, sleeping, I am with you. You are my own. In my love's baptismal river, I have made you mine forever. Go, my children, with my blessing, you are my own. Go, my children, fed and nourished, closer to me. Grow in love and love by serving, joyful and free. Hear my Spirit's power filled you, hear his tender comfort stilled you. Go, my children, we've had and